We're in a series called The Imperfect Prayer Life and the Desire for Communion with God. Tonight, I want to look at the topic of grieving the Holy Spirit. Yes, it happens in Christians. So we've been looking at the Holy Spirit helps us. We don't know how to pray as we ought, and he intercedes with groanings too deep for words. That's what we studied the last couple Sunday nights. It's hard to exaggerate the importance of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. The one thing that you and I are unable to change by ourselves is the affections of the heart. You can summon up a bit of a desire. I want to be a good Christian. I want to please God. But the deep change in the things we desire most that was broken in the fall, and we can't fix it. So it requires the presence of the Holy Spirit to help Don Horben to love God more than he loves the things of this world. I can't make that adjustment by myself. There's a few moral improvements. You want to lose 10 pounds. You want to quit smoking. You can do those kind of things. I'm not talking about those kinds of changes. I'm talking about the things that you treasure most. You don't have the capacity to treasure spiritual things without the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible puts such a stress on the importance of being filled with the Spirit. Luke 11:13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? There's the desiring of the presence and power and work of the Spirit. Those words need to be thought through. The Bible consistently bears witness, not just to the experience of being filled with the Spirit, but the result of being filled with the Spirit. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it wasn't enough that these disciples had already spent time with Jesus. They needed more than that. It wasn't enough that they knew the teaching of Jesus. They had heard him teach. They had heard the parables. They had seen the miracles. That wasn't enough. They needed the experience of the inward life and power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the duty of Christians to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. So the idea here is there's a dimension to the spiritual life that isn't automatic. It has to be desired, sought, received, whatever word you want to use. And it seems that the special portfolio of the Holy Spirit is to aid the church and believers in times of prayer, in seeking God. You know some of the scriptures that point out to that kind of work of the Spirit. We studied Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He lines us up with the desires of God for our lives. Or Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To this end, keep alert with all perseverance. You have to stay at this. Making supplication for all the saints. Great words from Jude 20. But you, beloved, it's my love for you that makes me say this. You, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You could go on and on and on to see the importance of the Holy Spirit as it relates to seeking God, praying, interceding. there's ways of grieving the Spirit. There are ways in which I get in the way of the transforming work of the Spirit in my heart. Some are more intentional, some are less intentional. I want to look at some of them, okay? One. See where we are in the notes? Point number one. We grieve the Holy Spirit by a hypocritical lifestyle. And I want to show you two different kinds of hypocrisy, okay? So the two texts aren't just repeating the same thing. We grieve the Holy Spirit by a hypocritical lifestyle. First, Matthew 6, 5 to 8. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues, at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. There's the motive, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. They've been seen. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. There's a way of just sort of copying the right cliches. When my girls were little, 925 Davis Drive, Melissa and Laurel sat with Mom, and she noticed during one of the prayer times during the service, Laurel, who at that time, she'll tell you later on, I don't know, she was little. And you could hear her as we were praying. She was, yes, thank you, Jesus, yes. And so Renee says, what are you doing? And some of you will remember this, she said, John Ribka used to sit behind us during prayer time. Yes, thank you, Jesus. So Laurel thought, well, that's what you do. You just, yes, thank you, Jesus. Well, that was fairly innocent. But you can get into the habit of just the routine, the cliches, and hypocrisy. Now, here's the other text I wanted to read, a different kind of hypocrisy. I'm going to talk about the two of them. Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. First, let's just be clear on the meaning of hypocrisy in the New Testament. It's easy to misinterpret it. The hypocrite is not the person who fails to practice fully what he knows or teaches. Someone like me. That I don't live up to everything I proclaim from God's word. That doesn't make me a hypocrite. I'm trying to. Nobody does it perfectly. The hypocrite is someone who wants to give the impression that he does it all perfectly when he really doesn't. You see the difference in those two things? Not being perfect doesn't make you a hypocrite. Pretending to be perfect, that's what makes you a hypocrite. None of us lives up fully to what we know. Not all the time. We need repentance. We need forgiveness. The first passage that I read, the longer one, Matthew 6, 5 to 8, it relates to hypocrisy in the issue of prayer before others. And you're to have purity of motive before other people. That's the problem with this hypocrite. He wants to appear religious, more religious than he in fact is. He wants to convince other people that he or she is devout. That kind of person will always have a hard time admitting needs before others. Like James, pray one for another. Confess your sins one to another, he includes it, that you might be healed. Well, the reason James has that is it keeps potential hypocrites honest. I have to confess my need. Here's my problem. Here's my weakness. Here's my sin. So purity of motive before others. The second text that I read, the Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God, deals with purity of motives before God. Pure in heart. There's no mixture of false motives in my devotion to God. I want to have my whole life glorify God. The problem with purity before God is this. For all of the might and power of the Godhead, there is no one easier to ignore than the Holy Spirit. That image of coming down like a dove, what's that all about? Well, all you have to do is, and they're gone. There's no one easier to ignore, especially when it's just God and I, my prayer, my time before God, alone, go in the room, close the door. So this isn't the hypocrisy before people. This is keeping me honest before God, listening to the Holy Spirit when he speaks. And the thing is, there's no one easier to ignore than the Holy Spirit, and ignoring the Holy Spirit quickly becomes habitual because there usually isn't an earthly catastrophe right away when you fail to listen to the Holy Spirit. So grieving the Holy Spirit through hypocrisy, hypocrisy before others for the show of it, hypocrisy before God where we don't listen immediately to the word of the Spirit as he speaks to our hearts, pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Not perfect, but unmixed in motive. We grieve the Holy Spirit, point number two, by love of wealth and material goods. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things. It's about things. It's not just the world in some cosmic general sense. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, well, the love of the Father, it's not in him. That's a very absolute statement, isn't it? Or 1 Timothy 6:6-10, Paul says, now there's great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of the world. I can remember when I've told this story before, I can remember the night that Mom called and said Dad had died in the hospital. He'd had a heart attack, he was in the hospital, he died that night. Got up early in the morning, drove down to the hospital, and they gave me a plastic bag, about that big, one of those Ziploc bags, about like that. His belt, pants, underwear, shirt, socks. And I walked out to the car and I thought, there it is. That's whether you drove to the hospital in a Ferrari or took the bus, this is how you leave. This is how you leave. So this you brought nothing into this world, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless, hear the word? Senseless, harmful desires. What do the desires for things do? Well, they plunge people into ruin and destruction. How does that work? Well, the love of money, it's a root sin, it's a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving. You see how craving? You think of like almost a sickness, don't you? You crave something, like a drug addict. Through this craving, and Paul's trying to choose the Greek words that show how twisted this attachment can get in ordinary people like we. This craving that some have wandered away from the faith, pierced themselves through with many pangs. Here's the reason you have to once in a while talk about these hard verses. You have to look at them. There's a reason for that, and it's this. The Bible actually says that this issue isn't going to get less and less as time progresses. It's going to get more and more in the last days. I get that from 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But understand this. So if Paul were here, he'd say, think this through. Make sure you understand what we're saying here. understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And you think, well, is he talking about Christians being burned at the stake? Is he talking about churches being shut down by military power? What kind of difficulty? He explains. There'll be times of difficulty, too, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Notice what he starts with. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, can't satisfy them, slanderous, without self-control. See that craving that he talked about in the other passage? Without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Witness to such people. No. Avoid such people. Don't. You get close to people like that, you'll start thinking like that. Don't do it. So love of wealth, like hypocrisy, is so grieving to the Holy Spirit because it becomes idolatrous. I was reading, it's not in your notes, sorry, Colossians 3:5, where Paul says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Earthly. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire. And then he says, and covetousness, just that desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Well, of course it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's an idol. The basic point to remember here is I can't cater. So we're talking about the second way we grieve the Holy Spirit. First is hypocrisy. Second is love of material things, wealth and material things. And the reason it's such a problem when we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, Paul spells out in Galatians 5:16-17, where he says, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here's the issue. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other. You know how when you turn magnets a different way and you try and put them together and they shove apart? They're opposed to each other. To keep you from doing the things you want to do. Oh, here's what I want. I want to grow in the Lord. I want to see new spiritual life. I want to mature in the Lord. I want to grow in the Lord, sort of. And they can't figure out why they can't do it. They want to, but they can't. They want to, but they're unable to. They seem stuck. Well, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit are contrary to one another. 3, grieve the Holy Spirit by not fully confessing and forsaking sins. Not too much more, a little bit. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Doesn't mean you can't make money. It means prospering inwardly. He who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. He takes inward purity with blazing seriousness. He's grieved when I do a partial job of confessing and forsaking sin. Here's how that can happen, by the way. A, catch yourself if you find yourself doing these things. By confessing sin only in very general terms. We're all sinners, Pastor Don. We're all sinners. I know, but when the Holy Spirit deals with my heart, he doesn't just say, Don, you're a sinner. He says, Don, how come you have to win every argument? That's just pride. He'll say, Don, you need to take those pens back from the office, because if you take them home and you don't bring them back, that's stealing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When he talks about sins, he doesn't just say, well, you're fallen. You need Jesus. There has to be, blessed are those who mourn, where there's something serious that's brought into the light. If there has come a disease infecting the church, it's we want everything to be positive, upbeat. I can remember when worship times weren't called celebrations. When people came and thought our God is a blazing fire. So by confessing sin only in very general terms. That's why James, by the way, he talks about confess your faults one to another. It forces me to bring things into the light that I just as soon keep to myself. Thank you very much. We need those things. B, by confessing certain sins while ignoring cherished ones. You can be sure it's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart when he calls you to deal first with the sins that seem to cost the most to forsake. He will always start there. C, grieve the Holy Spirit by blaming others for their guilt and using their wickedness to justify an unscriptural response on our part. This is especially the case when you've been genuinely wrong, honestly hurt, and you carry around this portable case of anger and bitterness, our sense of justice. Nothing grieves the Holy Spirit faster than a spirit of revenge. Nothing grieves the Holy Spirit faster than that. D, last one. By confessing sins that we have no deep intention of turning away from in repentance. It's important when God speaks. Ask yourself, do I fully intend to root this thing out of my life right now? I sometimes talk to people in my office, and they'll talk about repenting of some sin, and as you keep going in the conversation, what they mean is eventually when they get sick of this, that, I'm going to come to Jesus, and I'm going to get repentance. And I say to them, there's no more dangerous game than continuing in sin, thinking you're going to come to God later on. That's the road to hell is paved right there. So whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, remember I said earlier, he's the easiest person in the world to ignore, and it's habitual. So make sure when he speaks and you confess your sin that there is, to the best of your heart's knowledge, whatever steps that lead me into that action, I stop with step A. I stop now. And I find this, God's grace works as you obey him in the steps that you can take. It's like the headlights on your car. They don't show you all the way to your destination, but as you keep moving, you get more and more light on the road. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Let it not be said. Let it not be said that we who have received divine grace and life and the work of the Spirit to bring us to God, we do anything to grieve his blessed presence in our lives, in our midst.